While they speak on behalf of everybody, say thank you very much. That was a fantastic presentation, and as I look at the challenges and the goals that you have, very inspiring to see you do that. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for sharing with us. As I was thinking about today, knowing that we were going to have Carolyn speak before me, and that's what it turned out we did, I was thinking about the support that missionaries need. And, of course, missionaries do have some very practical needs, financial supplies, parkas, that sort of thing. And those are things that they need to be supported in. I think also social contact. You mentioned your newsletter, I guess, through email coming out, and getting support back as well from people back at home when you're on the mission field, I would assume would be a very good thing and something that would be an encouragement there. I feel kind of convicted in that. I think that's something I haven't done as well as I should have for some of the missionaries that we've sent. But that's something that I think we should keep in mind and keep in thought. But the balance of what I was thinking of was prayer support. And you've already mentioned some ideas, Carolyn, for prayer support. But in preparation for today, I was thinking more about missionaries in general and specifically how we can more effectively support them in prayer. We can certainly say, look through the missionary prayer handbook or look at our fridges or bulletin boards, which I've got your card on the bulletin board already downstairs, and say, well, we pray for them and what they're doing, and that's a good thing. But I think we need more specific, and I think our prayers, as they are more specific, as we pray for specific things, as Carolyn mentioned, some that she is asking for, that's more effective, where we actually nail down knowing what they're going through and praying for specific things. And I was thinking, obviously, not knowing a lot about Carolyn or even specifics on the ministry there, I looked to Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians. Paul, of course, was a great missionary. And in looking through 1 Corinthians, I saw several things that I think are worth pointing out in terms of things that we can be prayerful and thoughtful in our prayers in support of our missionaries. So we're going to look at those just briefly over the next 20-25 minutes or so, and maybe not only for as it relates to Carolyn, but as it relates to other missionaries we might know, these might be things that can be helpful for us as we remember them in prayer. So 1 Corinthians, starting at chapter 3 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3 and 5, Paul writes, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." And again, this does echo what we've heard from Carolyn, but in reading this, it occurred to me that we should be praying for those who are laboring and serving the Lord on the mission field, that they will serve him with an attitude of each playing their small part in God's big work. Because as was mentioned, it is God's work. It's not the missionary's work. It's not the evangelist's work. It's not the support person's work. It's God's work. And I think it's important for missionaries to continue to have that thought process and that perspective. Because if one considers, I mean, when I was listening to the presentation and seeing the vast geographies and the languages, and I know we have some of our Indian folks who say, oh, that's not many languages, you should see back home. But the languages and the geographic diversity and the cultural diversity and all these sorts of things, if one tries to take on too much and takes it on them as if it's their entire responsibility, That's overwhelming, and that can be very negative in terms of you know, having an ongoing work. But if each person says this is God's work, this is a huge work, but I've got a lot bigger God, and I'm playing my part to move it forward, my part to serve in the way the Lord's enabled me to do, that's how they're going to be more effective. So Paul, even the great apostle Paul, doesn't take it upon himself to say, I've got to be everything to everybody, does he? He says, no, I'm going to do this, and someone else is going to do that, and someone else is going to do that, and the Lord's work is going to get done. And that's the attitude we should be praying for those in service in the missionary field to have. I think people can be prone, and I think it's the way we are, to focus on their own work. And that's okay to an extent. We certainly want to be accountable. We certainly want to hold ourselves accountable to make sure we're doing the work that we should be doing. But we also have to be mindful that we really do play a small part in really what God is doing and what God is putting together. Secondly, in this passage, I see humility. Again, the Apostle Paul isn't standing up and saying, look how great I am, look what I'm doing. He has humility. He doesn't take that glory upon himself. And humility, I think, would be something important for someone on the mission field as well, where we're not putting ourselves above someone that we're talking to. We're not putting our needs above the needs of the group or what the Lord would have, but we see that we, again, are just part of the work that God is doing, and that God should receive all the glory that he does, all the glory that he deserves for anything that he does, even if he's using you or me or someone on the mission field for his purposes. So humility is also something we can pray for our missionaries on the field. Turning over into verse 9, Paul writes, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed on how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Paul's asking others to remember, and I think we do ourselves a service to remind ourselves as well, that as we pray for the missionaries, as we pray for the work that they are doing, that they would be conscious and aware that Jesus Christ has to be, on an ongoing basis, on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year basis, the foundation of the work that's being done. Now, again, there are real practical realities. And, you know, in the presentation that we saw, practical realities start with language, being able to communicate with someone. It takes about a couple of years to be able to do that. When you get to my age, it's a couple of decades or whatever, but a couple of years just to learn the language. And, again, that's a very practical, foundational bit. But, again, understanding as you're going through that process that the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's the reason for it. He's the purpose behind that formidable exercise. And then once even things kind of start to go on with actually the ministry work, the missionary work, we all know in different jobs and different activities that we do that we do end up with routines and situations that come up and practices, and these are kind of the ongoing day-to-day things that take our time and that we kind of live within. And of course, going up there, there's going to be all new routines and practices and situations that come up. And it can, I'm sure, as it can in other phases of our walk, be that those become kind of what you can focus on, that we do this and we do this and we do this, and kind of lose sight of the bigger picture of we're here to spread the gospel, we're here to minister God's word, we're here to share the good news. And we need those practical things. Practical service is great, There is great need, I know, in those areas for even very practical ministries that can be given. But we want to pray that our missionaries retain the perspective that they're there to share the good news. They're there to be servant, they're to serve the people by giving them not just practical assistance, but they're giving them the gospel and giving them the work that are doing the work that God has sent them to do. So I want to pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will always be the foundation of the work that's being done by the missionaries. Going to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required as stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. I think there's a couple of pieces of this passage that we can use to guide and lead us as we pray for missionaries on the field. First, that the missionaries will have and maintain a servant's mentality. Again, going into a situation where you know something that someone else doesn't, where you're teaching and you're bringing something, well, that is part of what the missionary is doing, but there has to be a servant's mentality, that it's not my way, it's not the way that I see it, it's not the way that I think this should be done. You're working as, and you will be working with a group of people, and a servant's mentality is so crucial to working together for the common purpose of serving the Lord. Retaining a servant's mentality that I'm not here to do it the way that I want to do it. I'm not here to do it the way that I see best. We look up here and we see we work in God's understanding, not our own. And that if each missionary on that field is looking to God and saying, I'm your servant, what would you have me to do? The group as a whole is going to be so much more effective and so much more cohesive because we don't have that. And it kind of ties into the pride thing too, doesn't it? Where it's not my way, it's God's way. And that servant's mentality, such an important thing for missionaries on the field to have. They need to focus on and commit to serving the Lord in his way, in his time, for his purpose, because again, it is his work. Secondly, in this passage, we see that it's important that the missionaries be found faithful. And to be found faithful, that's a big topic. What does that mean? But I took that to say that they have and maintain and understand their true reliance on the Lord and his calling. They're working in faith. They're working in God's wisdom, not their own. And as a missionary out in the field in remote places such as that, I can see that would be extremely important. Where we say, look, I can't figure all this out myself. I don't know everything there is to know, but the Lord does. And my faith is in him that he's going to lead, that he's going to guide, and he's going to show me how I should be doing this work. So missionaries, we can pray for them to maintain a servant's mentality, and we can pray for them that they be found faithful in their service to him. And then I'm going to read a kind of a lengthier passage from 1 Corinthians 8, and I read it not necessarily to go through the content in huge detail, but there's a concept that I think it illustrates very well. 1 Corinthians 8, and starting at verse 4, Paul teaches, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Now again, as far as the actual content of the passage, that may not be terribly relevant. I don't think eating meat up there or having meat offered idols is an issue. However, the principle that we see here and what Paul's teaching is that missionaries need discernment. Paul's looking at a problem, an issue that seems complicated. Well, should we eat meat or should we not? Well, they're saying to them it's bad, but we know it's not bad. What do we do? There's a conflict between the culture that he's in and the presumptions and the history of the group that he's ministering to, and his way of seeing things and what he knows from the scriptures. And that, to me, is a huge challenge on the mission field, having never been there, but just looking at what missionaries would have to go through, I see that as a huge challenge. You're dealing with people who have very different histories, different beliefs, different cultural backgrounds. You mentioned specifically, Karen, the idea of the residential schools and the problems that have gone on there that were longstanding and very deeply rooted. Now, I've studied those things and I know about them, but I have to honestly say they're not part of my day-to-day thought process, right? They're not something that I think about and go, you know, as something that's deeply affected my life on a day-to-day basis. But for someone in that situation where it's their families, their situations, their history, that's a huge deal. And why wouldn't it be? And there's all different cultural things and different parts of our history and parts of the way we've been brought up and parts of the way that we've been taught that fundamentally affect how we think, how we see things, how we process information, how we take something that someone might say to someone else and they take it one way and because of a different perspective, someone takes it a completely different way and it means something different. And that seems to me to be a huge challenge in any missionary endeavor, and in this case, no less so and possibly even more so than some others. We have difference in theology we have difference in practices and in history. How do we deal with these differences? How does a missionary deal with these differences? It requires discernment. It requires looking to the Lord for answers and letting him give those answers. How do we deal with the differences of theology versus culture? What if what we do is theology, this is what the Lord says we should do, and this is how things are, and how much of it is culture that this is kind of the way we do it because that's the way our great-grandparents did it, and it's just kind of kept on going on. You know, I remember talking to Gary McBride saying, can you imagine some people don't start their breaking bread service at 9:30? Really? I mean, how can they be Christians and not start at 9:30? And then he pointed out to me that in the scriptures it says when the hour had come, so maybe we're wrong, I don't know. but we get tied into these things because it's what we know and what we do. And for a missionary to understand the difference between theology and culture and make those distinctions is important. What's doctrine and what's practice? What things do we have to plant a flag on and what things can we do differently because we're in a different place with different types of people. So I think that's a big deal for us as those praying for missionaries, I certainly pray for Carolyn as she goes dealing with these sorts of issues. And what we can pray for is discernment. Pray that the Lord will show Carolyn and the people she's working with how to deal with these issues that will come up. Then a couple of very quick ones as we move towards closing. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. I've spoken on this passage before, but Paul writes, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Such a little passage, but I think we need to pray that the missionaries would have godly testimonies among the people. Because, again, just as anywhere else, I hear what you say, but I want to see what you say, right? To have the proper theology and the right words to say doesn't have much of an impact on the mission field, I don't think, when people see a testimony that's inconsistent with what's being taught. I don't know if what the word is there for hypocrisy, but I'm sure they have one. And people naturally sniff out hypocrisy. And when they hear one thing and see another thing, it discredits the work that's going on. I think this is one of the great things that anyone could ever write. Imitate me. Can you imagine? Imitate me. Now he qualifies it. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. To the extent that I'm imitating Christ, imitate me. We can pray that each one and Carolyn and the people around her would have godly testimonies, that they would be able to say, as I'm imitating Christ, do what I do. An important thing to have the godly testimony among not only the people you're serving on the mission field, but also the people you're serving with as well. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 16:24, as Paul finishes this letter, he finishes with these words, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." Can we commit to praying for the missionaries that they would have love for those they're working alongside, and they would have love to those to whom they're ministering? Because again, all of the actions, all of the work that's being done, it means something, but the fact that it's being done showing God's love and in God's love, that's what opens hearts. That's what makes people receptive. They can see the love of Christ in the missionaries. And again, just as a team, that they see the love between them. So Paul finishes with, "May love be with you all in Christ Jesus." I don't think that's just a throwaway. He's just kind of looking for a nice phrase to end the letter with. I think he's emphasizing that all the things that have been written kind of come to this. May love be with you all in Christ Jesus. And he showed his love for them in very practical ways. He went to minister to them. He prayed for them. He's writing these to him. He's demonstrating, again, just as we talked before, imitate. He's demonstrating the love that a missionary should have for those he's ministering to. And really, that's what Paul's doing here, isn't he? He's ministering to the Corinthian people and sending his love to them. So just in these few minutes, we've had these thoughts of things that we can pray for Carolyn and her team, and I think other missionaries as well, that we should be praying for them to aid, for God to bless them in their ministries. But as I was going through these and reviewing them in my mind and my heart, I couldn't help but notice something. The things that we should be praying with regards to missionaries are also the same things that we should also be praying for each other and for ourselves. It's not just the missionaries going off to the field that need these things. You and I at Faith Bible Chapel, We need to be praying these same things for each other. And we should be praying for these things for ourselves. Let's review them really quickly. Pray that we be willing to serve the Lord with the attitude of each playing a part in God's work. That doesn't apply just to missionaries. Pray for humility. Doesn't apply just to missionaries. Pray that Jesus Christ will be the foundation of our work and not just a little part of it. That applies to us as well. Pray that each of us would maintain a servant's mentality and be found faithful. Which of us does that apply? Does that not apply to? Pray for discernment when dealing with people who have different histories, beliefs, and cultural backgrounds. Because we don't have to go to Nunavut to have that circumstance, do we? We know that here, even in our chapel, more than we did 10 years ago. We have people with different histories, beliefs, and cultural backgrounds through their history that we need to understand and work with. And understand the differences that are cultural and the differences that actually matter theologically. It's important that missionaries have godly testimonies. Which one of us is that not true of? That we have a godly testimony in the place that God's placed us. Because God has called Carolyn to somewhere far away. That's true. But he's called you and I to go to the mall and to have neighbors and to go to work and to go to school and those things. And we need godly testimonies there if God's going to work through us. And then finally, to have love for those that they're working, we are working alongside in Christian ministry, and those in the world who are ministering to. Paul says, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus," and that applies to us as well. So just some thoughts, not only for how we can effectively pray for Carolyn and other missionaries, but how we maybe should be looking at ourselves and even our little chapel and those around us. And pray for those things as well. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you that you've given your word. We thank you that you can, or that we can, even in this one letter, we can see so many things that apply in the area of prayer for those going in the mission field and. Just for us in our day-to-day walk, both as an assembly and as individuals. And Father, we pray for Carolyn as she endeavors to take on this work and all the work that has gone into it already and the much work that is to come. We pray that all these things that we have talked about would be true of her, that she would be conscious of your big work that she can be a small part of. Father, that she would have a servant's heart, that she would be found faithful and with a great testimony among the people with whom she works and serves and those she has gone or she is going to serve. Father, we pray these things for each and every one of us as well. Father, that we would, that these characteristics that we've spoken of would be true of us, that we serve you where you've placed us with equal commitment to doing things the way you would have us to do them, and that we would have the attitudes you would want us to have. And Father, we've witnessed the clip of Sharon and Elhan's wedding. And Father, we just pray, too, that you would bless them and guide them in this relatively short time they have together before Sharon comes home. And Father, we just pray that you would bless them and encourage them. And Father, that through this the time that is to come, will they be separated physically for a considerable time? Father, that you would lead them and guide them and just keep them wanting for each other, Lord, that they would eventually come back together and serve you in the way that you would have them to do. Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask you to bless Carolyn as she continues her work towards the ministry. And Father, we just pray that you would encourage us to continue to pray for her and all, and the missionaries she's going with, and also the other missionaries that we are aware of, Father, that we can more effectively pray for them today. Father, we ask all these things, give me thanks in your Son's precious name. Amen.